From the Tie Cats Audio Network, this is Tie Cats Today with Steve Milton.
It's Thursday, April 18th. This is Tie Cats Today, and I'm Steve Milton. I want to thank and welcome Scott Milanovich, the 27th head coach in Tiger Cat history, for carving out a few minutes to join us all today. In my opinion, this is absolutely the busiest stretch for everyone in CFL football operations, with the first players, rookies and quarterbacks, arriving in town for training camp exactly 3 weeks from today, and the bulk of the roughly 85 candidates hitting the MAC field 72 hours later on Sunday, May 12th. Mark that date down. The preparation logistics must be staggering, so maybe we'll open with that, Scott. For you and your staff, what's involved with this period?
Very busy. We're putting playbooks together, working on personnel. In the meantime, we're studying guys for the Canadian draft, getting ready for that upcoming event here in a couple weeks. And we've got guys on the board. We're trying to make sure, as we're watching film of the new guys that we're bringing in, that we're putting them in the right positions to start the training camp, so that we don't have any hiccups as far as where they're going to end up being and you have the best chance to help us. So, very busy time, but we're enjoying it.
This wasn't a question I was going to ask, but given your answer there, I want to, when you talked about giving guys the best chance, I think having the rookies in for a couple of days, or first year players in for a couple of days, that gives them a little bit of a chance they might not have an acclimatization or whatever. It gives them a better chance to compete for who they are by the time the more veteran players come in. Is that fair?
Yeah, it is. And that's one of the things we've talked about as a staff, is we've done the best we can. And I'm really talking about receivers, DBs, you know, there's multiple different spots, and we've got them on the board where we think they're going to fit best. But one of the conversations we've had is, by the end of training camp, or by the end of rookie camp, we've really got to know where they have the best chance to compete, and ultimately where they have the best chance to help us, so that we're not wasting days in moving people within training camp. It becomes a mental thing in terms of learning the responsibilities, learning the rules, where they're able to play fast, and too many moves, putting one guy in this position, then moving a receiver to this position. It's new learning for them. So it's kind of incumbent on us to try to get them in the right spot early.
Now, part of that, I guess, is you only have so much time with those players. So you got to maximize it, right?
Correct. We're going to have two practices with the rookies, and we've got to make some pretty big evaluations pretty quickly.
Okay. I'm going to play a little background music here for our listeners, Scott, so bear with me for a moment. You were a star quarterback at Maryland, played in the NFL, CFL, the original XFL, and NFL Europe. But not every Ticat fan knows that you've also coached and been an offensive coordinator in three different countries: in Germany with NFL Europe, the U.S., of course, in the NFL, college and even high school, and the CFL with Calgary before this, Calgary, Montreal, Toronto, and Edmonton. So after an impressive couple of years as quarterbacks coach with the Indianapolis Colts, he came to Hamilton last May, first as Orlando Steino, our senior assistant coach, and in August became the full-time offensive coordinator. Then in December, you're promoted to head coach. Can you tell us the main differences between being an assistant or coordinator and being a head coach? It's got to be significant.
It is, and there's benefits to both. That's why when I was a head coach and then I went down to Jacksonville to become a quarterback's coach, people said, well, aren't you going to miss, you know, all the things that come with being a head coach, with the leadership and having control over the offense and the defense and the special teams? And, you know, kind of when there's an argument, if the head coach wants to have it this way, that's the way it's going to go. And the answer was yes, but the things that you miss by being a head coach are also, you know, plentiful. When you're just a position coach, when I was down there in Jacksonville, you spend every waking minute I did with the quarterbacks, because I was the quarterback's coach. The relationships that you build, Blake Bortles was our quarterback, almost took us to the Super Bowl, still lives down there. We still stay in touch. So there's a lot of give and take. There's less stress. That's a benefit of being a position coach. More stress as an offensive coordinator. And then obviously as the head coach, you feel responsible for everybody in the organization. And that comes down to wins and losses. So as the stress level goes up, as the title goes up, the stress level goes up. But that's kind of what people like me are built for, that we want that responsibility.
I guess you've answered the question I was going to ask on that one, which is, do you like it? Do you like that stress?
Yeah. I mean, there's times where you don't. There's no question about it. Being a head coach is a ton of fun in the off season when there aren't any games to have to win, and it's a lot of fun after you win a Grey Cup or win five in a row. If you have a little bit of a bad stretch, it's not as fun. But I think that's what makes you worth your salt when you're able to weather those kind of times.
Now, how much does it help the transition to the head coach back, or just here, just moving to head coach? You were on the field running offensive practices every day for the final 3 months of last season. Does that help the transition? I've heard you say it has, but maybe you could flesh that out a bit for us.
Certainly it does. I go in knowing close to half the team very well. Because it was during half the season, I didn't get to know a lot of the defensive guys as well as I would have liked. So that's one area that that I'd like to get better, you know, throughout this year, throughout this training camp. But just knowing those players, knowing the, in addition to the players, it's knowing the equipment guys, know the training staff, you know, knowing the people in the front office. It's just, I've done this two other times, become a head coach, and when you don't know anybody, the whole off season is kind of taken up with, okay, what is our culture here? What are the expectations from the coaching staff? Is there anything that we believe in that I don't like? Do we have to have a conversation about that? So I came into this feeling really good about where this organization is, what it stands for. My direct boss, O, is a good friend. So, you know, there's no worries about any sort of fracture between front office personnel and the coaching staff. So it has been as seamless as a new head coaching job can be, Steve.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Scott, because I was going to ask about O, and I know that you're friends, and you know, I've sat in with both of you on several occasions, and you have a lot of the similar philosophies. I think you'd say you're a different, your delivery system is probably different than Orlando's, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think we have different personalities. But when it comes down to how to treat people, what's important in football, what kind of players we're looking for, that's a big one that we spend a lot of time in the offseason talking about. He and I see things the same way, and no two people are the same. I think the beauty of our different personalities is I think we complement each other very well. There's things that that he's really good at that I can improve on. So I'm taking every opportunity. His office is right next door to mine, and any questions, I'm sliding next door and getting his opinion.
If I can circle back to what you were mentioning about the defense, how do you work? I mean, you're the offensive coordinator as well as the head coach. So how much time do you anticipate spending with the defense and special teams, and how do you work that out? Where do you find that time?
We're working on that. I know it's kind of technical, but like for day one, if we're in a day one practice during the season, we have a very big run install when we start offensive and defensive meetings. So right. I don't remember exactly what it was, maybe 30 minutes of that offensive and defensive meetings or run install. Mike Gibson handles that for us. So that'll be a time when I can get over there in the defense and hear what's going on. We did spend a lot of time this offseason as a staff where we had Zoom meetings. If we had an offensive Zoom meeting, a lot of the defensive staff was on there just from a learning perspective and vice versa. So I got to hear Mark and the defensive staff communicate what's important to them, what they're teaching. I have a pretty good, the rest of the offensive staff does too. We call it cross training, where when you know why a defense coaches something the way they do, it makes you better coach offensively. So I've got a better head start certainly than I did at this time last year, but I'm going to try to find a time and a place other than day one where I can be a part of what's going on over there and you know, get to know those guys a little better and support them.
I appreciate that answer. Switch back to your offensive group. I and I'm sure many diehard Ticat fans have noticed that you signed Thaddeus Moss and a couple of others who I would call true tight ends, NFL style tight ends. You don't see that a lot in the CFL, or haven't. Can we read anything of that about the style of offense you might run, or do you not want to give anything away on that?
No, I don't think it's a secret. The CFL has changed over the years. There's much less man coverage, particularly on first down. When you have five receivers, there's a lot more shell type coverage that and defense coordinators are really good. They've improved in the last 10 right. years, and they're saying, hey, we're not going to play a lot of man and let you get explosive plays. What I think that's changed is we were probably, I don't know, 20 snaps. If you have 30 snaps first down in a game last year, probably 20 snaps, we had a tight end body or at least one on the field. right. what that gives you. And a lot of times for us, because we didn't have any true tight ends, that was an extra alignment. Mm-hmm. And no disrespect to our fantastically gifted offensive linemen, but they're not as big of a pass threat and then pass receiving threat as a true tight end would be. So I think that's where the game's gone a little bit is when you have a tight end in there and you get into bigger people, it opens up the run game that you're able to do. More schemes are available to you, some different things that you can't do if you have five receivers out there. And it gives you an opportunity to work the ground game.
Is that why we're seeing also the emergence of larger solid backs that can also take what we would call the long handoff, which is a short pass? Guys like you've got one, and James Butler.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, excuse me. I never think of myself as, hey, I need to have a big back. I want somebody that can protect the quarterback, like, 'cause that's what I tell them is their number one job. And then B, run the ball, and C, be a threat out of the backfield. I think that's super important in the Canadian game. I've never worried a whole bunch about their size. Brandon Whitaker, who I've had for a lot of years, was not a very big guy. Chad Kacker, not a very big guy, but they have to be able to do those three things. So, we're just looking for – I mean, James is he's great at all three of those things. He's a pro in the meeting rooms. He's done a great job. He's anxious to get and hear the new offense. I saw him here the other day. He was in for a photo promo or whatever, but he looks great. So we're looking forward to having him back.
While we're on the topic of guys who can catch the ball, my last count, and I don't know if it's changed or will change, show that you are bringing into camp 9 receivers who are 6'4" or taller, and 3 mm-hmm. who are at least 6'6", and that includes Justin McGriff, whom we are all looking forward to seeing play because he had such a great training camp last year and they got hurt. Well, that's not been a common occurrence around here. Guys that tall.
I mean, ideally, you've got guys that are 6'4 and run a 4'2 and can jump out of the gym and have great hands. I think part of that, and you're going to have to give our personnel staff a lot of credit. Now, I have spoken to them about a particular position need where I think we need a little bit more size. But the other thing that is come into play is the physicality of the defensive backs. You're not allowed to cut anymore on screen passes out on the perimeter. And so those guys can beat up smaller receivers if they're not physical. So that's not to lump all smaller receivers together. But we need to get more physical with the receiver group. And if that means getting bigger bodies, then that's something we're going to do.
How do you judge? I mean, it's a lot of that off film. You don't get a whole bunch of chance to do a ton of hitting in training camp. So how do you judge whether that back can handle that? The defensive back, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, we'll simulate it. We'll simulate it in drills and we'll find out. We'll do just what I talked about. We'll do screen drills and see who can block and see who can't be blocked. Right. And that'll be evaluated.
Just a couple more here before I let you head back to your 18-hour day. You've had more time to talk with Bo Levi Mitchell, and where do you think he is heading into training camp, both physically, and I guess I would say the word I phrase I would use would be in spirit. What are you expecting from him? What do you expect to see from him?
Yeah, I think he'll be healthy. I have no doubts. I know he's been throwing for a number of weeks now. I want to say close to maybe 2 months doing drops, things like that. And from our conversations that I've had with him on the phone, and I've seen him a couple times here since I've been here, he seems to be in a great place mentally, and I think we're much more on the same page as to what the expectation is going to be from our offensive staff as to how the quarterback needs to play in the system. And like I've been saying all offseason, I understand the questions, but I fully believe that this guy's going to have a great season.
Okay, and of course the proof will be in the pudding there, and everybody. And I don't think it's any secret, Scott. That's who everybody's going to be watching right from the top, right? I mean,
it always
maybe
is.
Not. Yeah, I mean, you know how this world works, particularly
for sure.
Those that aren't inside the clubhouse. Finally, any hints on how the racial spots will be allotted, or will training camp decide all of that?
Yeah, it's early. I think the one thing that's safe to say is the three interior guys on our offensive line will be Canadian players, the guys that were here last year with Beard, Rev, and Woody. It's a good draft. It's, I think, a really good draft. So we anticipate picking a couple more guys up that have give us some ratio flexibility and we're going to let the guys, you know, we're going to let the guys battle for the spots that that are available. So we're not going to kind of pigeonhole exactly where we're going to be playing which guys until the end of the draft.
I think it helps too, I guess, that Ed got you a couple of pretty good, you know, Canadian receivers that have played.
Yeah,
to add
for
to
sure.
To add to the two or three that you already had.
Sure. I mean, we know we'll be playing at least one,
right.
Whether we're playing two, and depends on what happens in the draft and what right. we end up with defensively.
Okay. Well, thanks, Scott, for taking a valuable time away from your very overloaded schedule to talk with the Ticat fans today and all of our listeners. And I also want to thank all of you listening to us today. Check out the Ticats Audio Network early next week for our next episode. This has been Ticats Today, and I'm Steve Milton.
This has been Ticats Today with Steve Milton. Catch it on Spotify, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.